Again today, nearly 4 years ago after I left, I was, as Joe correctly mentioned, the team vicar here. In fact, this all used to be mine, but sadly I had to give it up to join the Royal Navy, Joe, not the Merchant Navy, as you said. Just in case people were panicking, I was moving again, the Royal Navy. Slip of the tongue, yeah, no problem. It's quite interesting that you mentioned the fact that I was team vicar here and that I've moved to the Navy, because in fact, whenever you join somewhere in the Navy, you realize that Navy jobs turn around very quickly, don't they? You have a new CO coming into the unit every 2 years to run the show and stamp his authority on the proceedings and to do something significant. And so what you find quite often happening is that people arrive and they give a long list of their credentials to be able to be there, to hopefully try and get some kind of respect from the people that are going to be following them over the next couple of years or so. Well, Joe, if you'd asked me to come and preach this sermon a year ago, I wouldn't have been able to give any credentials for it, because even though I joined the Navy 4 years ago, I hadn't actually been to sea until last August. My first trip to sea in last August, I joined HMS Monmouth on an exercise across the Atlantic to go to Canada. And I can tell you that crossing the Atlantic is absolutely horrendous. We caught this tale of a storm, and at one point, so I'm told, although I wouldn't know because I was lying racked up in my bunk, we had blue water on the bridge. I was in a terrible state. It was my first trip, and I spent 3 days lying horizontal, chewing on ginger biscuits and sipping water. The bish was racked up. The bish was out of commission. He was completely useless. To make matters worse, I was sharing a cabin with a 52-year-old warrant officer who had been to sea for 35 years and just didn't know what the fuss was about. I truly knew what the psalmist meant when he wrote in our reading today. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on mighty waters. They saw deeds of the Lord and his wondrous works in the deep. For he commanded and raised the stormy wind, which lifted the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their calamity. And this is the bit I really know about. They reeled and staggered like drunkards, and were at their wits' end. The sea is a powerful, powerful beast. And so it's really good that we have a day like today where we can remember those of us who spend a lot of time on it and have done great things for us. And it's great to be here to recognize the 100-year anniversary of the Wrens and also of Seafarers UK. There are some good things about going to sea. One, the places that you get to go to. And in this last year, I've been to Canada, Norway, and the Gulf, and one or two other places. The friends that you make while sailing. The environment is a lot more immediate. Those of you, I'm sure, who have gone to sea will agree with me. And you get to know people because they're a lot closer to you. You have to learn to get on with them. And you get to know people a lot quicker and in a sort of a much more immediate way than you do on land. But surely the best thing about going to sea, and I don't know if you will agree with me on this, the best thing about going to sea is when you get home. You appreciate home a lot more, don't you, when you have to go to sea. And when you get home, you always notice things that have changed. When I got home, Karen, my wife, said to me, you look like you've lost a lot of weight. I hadn't eaten very much. Only thing was when you get home, you notice things that have changed at home. And I saw Karen and I said, well, you don't look much different. In fact, maybe you put on a pound or two, which resulted in me not getting fed for another week. So I lost even more weight. Seriously, though, you do notice things when you come home. And coming here today to St. Andrew's, it was great to notice the sculpture of St. Andrew that you have recently up outside the church. And of course, St. Andrew was the brother of St. Peter. And today's reading in the New Testament talks about Jesus by the lake of Gennesaret, coming into contact with St. Peter and this group of fishermen, of which St. Andrew almost certainly was one. Later on in the book of Luke, he is named as one of Peter's fishing buddies. But here he's not named, mainly, I think, because the writer of the gospel wants to help us to understand what Jesus was about through the eyes of Peter. And we have this little interaction between Jesus and Peter as Jesus is beside the lake of Gennesaret. Let's just have a look at verse 1. Once, while Jesus was standing before the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd were pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. So Jesus is being pressed in by a crowd of people wanting to hear him teach, and he's teaching them. And while he's teaching them, he comes across these fishermen who have finished their night's work. They're washing their nets and they're getting ready to perhaps go home, maybe eat some of the fish that they might have caught or whatever. And he comes across them, and as he's teaching them, he comes across Peter, who is in charge of these boats. And so he gets into one of the boats, and he asks Simon Peter to push the boat out a little bit in the water so that he's got a bit of room and he can continue teaching the people. And he continues to teach the people while the boat gets pushed out. And we go to verse 4, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." So even though Peter and the fishermen had finished their day's work, Jesus is saying to them, go on, put out into deep water and put out your nets so that you can catch some fish. Simon Peter's response is quite remarkable, really, because he responds in the affirmative to do this. But he has no reason to do it because he's already finished his fishing, and we realize later that he actually hasn't caught any fish. And of course, Simon Peter is the fisherman. Jesus is just this traveling preacher. So what would Jesus know? And why would Simon Peter listen to him? Well, you can only assume that he's listening to him because of some of the teaching that Jesus is offering at the time. There's something in Jesus' teaching that makes him think, well, maybe it's worthwhile just listening to what Jesus says and obeying him. And verse 5 says this, "Simon answered, 'Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets.' And so they go out and they let down the nets." And of course we know what's happened because we've heard the reading earlier. The nets go down and they bring up so many fish that Simon Peter has to call across some colleagues who are in their boats to come and fill their boats, and even the extra boats end up sinking. And of course that's a remarkable event, quite astounding. But what's more remarkable is Peter's response to this event. What would you imagine he would say? Well, we can see what he says in verse 8. So I'm struggling to find here because since I left this church, I've got a bit older and I need reading glasses. Verse 8. "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Go away from me, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man.'" Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Peter realized at this point that Jesus was far more than just a good teacher, far more than someone who is just worth listening to because he has something interesting to say about life and perhaps about the kingdom of God. Simon Peter realized at this point that Jesus had something of the divine about him. That's why he says, "Go away from me. I am a sinful man." He realizes at this point that he's not worthy to be in Jesus' presence. He's not worthy to have this man as his friend. And he goes down on his knees and does the only thing that is appropriate, worships him. But what is even more remarkable again is Jesus' response to that. Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. You see, Jesus had sidled up alongside Peter and his colleagues, taken them out into the middle of the ocean or the lake, told them to put their nets out so that he could do one thing, and that was call them to fulfill their real purpose in their lives. Call them to get in touch with the reason that they had been created. He was calling them to do the work that God himself had given them. And so Peter was being called to go and cast his nets out, not into the sea to catch fish, but to go and tell people about this man who he had fallen on his knees in front of and recognized as something of the divine about him. Now, Peter didn't understand all this at this stage. He didn't understand how the fact that he was a sinful man and couldn't be in Jesus' presence was going to be worked out, and that the work that Jesus would do to make it possible for them to be proper friends. He didn't understand all these things at this stage, but he just understood enough. He understood enough that he not only asked Jesus to come onto his ship, onto his boat, and throw his nets out, but we see in the next verse, in verse 11, that when the disciples, who were to be disciples, came onto the shore, when they brought their boats onto the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus. Well, they left everything because Jesus had come to show them a new life. The new life that he was teaching about when they stumbled across him on the bank of the Lake Gennesaret. And that teaching that he was giving them was more than just teaching. The teaching would become action, and the action would become a reaction that would continue, which means that we are here today with a sculpture of St. Andrew outside the church. The Christian faith would grow, and this new way of living would change everything that anyone understood about life. There was a new way of life, and those early disciples were called to it. Now, when I first joined the Navy, I worked at CTCRM, which is a training ground for Royal Marines. I spent most of my time with Royal Marines. It does make you slightly mad, so my apologies for that. But at CTCRM, many people would join the Royal Marines thinking that this was going to be the life that they had chosen. But after a few weeks in training, they realized that it was too difficult, or, in fact, they were cut out for something completely different. And quite often they would come and see the chaplain to try and talk this through. And we had a sort of a thing that we used to say. I used to go in and see the training team or go and see the commanding officer and say, you know, so-and-so, it's probably best that he leaves. This life is not for everyone. And of course, the Christian life is not for everyone. Many people choose not to follow it. But Jesus called these disciples to follow him. And he may, in fact, be calling you and me to follow him in the same way. I don't know. At what stage do you see yourself on the journey? Are you perhaps in the proximity of some of Jesus' teaching, where you can hear, as those fishermen did, that there's maybe a little bit more to this Christian life, to following Christ than maybe you thought? But there's something to the teaching of Jesus. Are you perhaps in the ship, in the boat? I keep saying ship because you say boat in the Navy, you get into a lot of trouble, don't you? In the boat heading out to the deeper water. Perhaps you've been in or you are in that situation where you realize that Jesus is more than just a good teacher, that there's something of the divine about him. In fact, there's more than something of the divine about him, that he is God himself. And the only response is to realize that we're not worthy to be in his presence and follow him. Or perhaps, even more than that, he's calling you to leave the life that you have now to follow him. When Jesus calls the fishermen to leave the lives they have to follow him, they do leave their boats and their nets and go on to do something completely different. But of course, when Jesus calls us to follow him, he doesn't always call us to leave our boats and our net or our parish in a nice part of Plymouth or whatever else it might be to follow him. But he does call us to leave our old life behind. It's not for everyone. Some of us can't do it or can't do it yet. But he does call us to leave everything behind. So where are you on this journey, this Sea Sunday? There is a new life out there for those of us who will follow Jesus. It is worth leaving everything behind for to follow him. Are you an early stage of hearing his word, or are you at the point where Jesus says to you, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people."